So we've been dealing with the question, why do you need Jesus? And we've been saying, look, here's 10 reasons from the Old Testament why you need Jesus. And basically, when we look at the 10 commandments, what we see is a standard from God which is so pure and so holy that it's going to make you, it's going to make me realize that we're sinners, that we are dirty and impure when we stand before God. The commandments show us our sinfulness. They show us that when we stand before God as judge, we will be guilty. They show us that we are guilty. Now, the gospel is called good news, but the good news only comes after you realise the bad news. The bad news is that you're guilty, that you're sinful, that I'm sinful, that we're lost in our sin. And the good news is that Jesus has paid for that sin on the cross, and you don't need to live in guilt. You don't need to be punished for that guilt, and you don't need to have that guilt control your life. Jesus' blood shed on the cross paid the debt for our guilt and our punishment. But then we come to the sixth commandment here, which is, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. And I guess the basic question is, for each one of us, is this really relevant to me? I mean, if the Ten Commandments are going to show us that we need Jesus because we're sinners, when it comes to this, it says, you shall not murder. Is that really relevant to me? After all, I've not killed anyone. And if I haven't killed anyone, therefore, okay, is that one of the boxes that I can actually tick off? Does that mean I'm okay? On this particular point, anyway, I can stand before God and say, look, God, I'm not guilty here. I'm not guilty. And so at least for this, I don't need Jesus. So for you, does that mean in your head there's only 9 reasons that you need Jesus, perhaps? Is it relevant to you? And is it relevant to me? I mean, assuming that you haven't actually killed someone. Now, when we look at the commandments that are given here in the Old Testament, and we want to understand how they apply to us today, one of the best places that we can look to find out what these commandments mean for us is actually from Jesus himself. Because when Jesus preached, he preached about the things which were in the Old Testament. And he taught us to realise that when God gave commands in the Old Testament, he didn't want us just to keep those commands just with our hands. He wanted us to keep those commands with our hands and in our hearts. So we're going to look at a portion of the New Testament now in Matthew 5, verse 20. Matthew 5, verse 20. Is that up there? This is Jesus, and he's speaking in a fairly famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And he said this. He says, these are to the people standing round about him. And he's talking about the commandments of old. In fact, I'll read from verse 20. He says, I say to you, to all the people round about him, that unless your righteousness, that's your good actions, your goodness before God, exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, that is, you fool, sorry, something like moron, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. This is what Jesus is saying. He's speaking to a group of people, and the Israelites, and the people who kept the law the best amongst the Israelites were known as the scribes and Pharisees. They were the religious leaders amongst the Israelites, and they were really careful about keeping God's laws. But what they were trying to do by keeping God's laws is to show to everyone else round about that they were good. And they were trying to show to God himself that they were good. So they treated God's laws as though they were a list, and then they tried to tick off each one. And what that meant was, when they looked at a command like this, "You shall not murder," what they said was, "Have I killed anyone? No, tick. It's all good. I am good before God. Therefore, I am not guilty of that particular sin." What they didn't realise was that God didn't want them just to have clean hands or no blood on their hands. He actually wanted them in their heart to be pure before him as well. And Jesus says this to them. He says, it's not just about your hands, it's about what's in your heart. It's not just about whether or not you've killed someone, you've gotten angry and stabbed them or beaten them to death or something like that. It's also about whether or not in your heart you're actually angry at someone. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had a righteousness, but their righteousness was ticking a bunch of boxes and saying, "Yep, I'm good. I keep the Sabbath day. I'm good. I worship only God. I don't have an idol in my house. I'm good. Okay, I haven't committed adultery. I'm good." But in their heart, they didn't actually love God. They were just trying to prove to God that they were good. And they were hoping that if they proved to God that they were good, then God would bless them. Jesus says to all the people round about, and he said this to you and to me, that your righteousness, all of your goodness, must be better than that. He says it must exceed, that means be more than, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You can't just not murder people. You can't just not commit adultery. You can't just not have idols in your house. Jesus wants you to worship in your heart. He wants you to honour God's name in your heart. He wants you to love and set aside time to worship God in your heart and with your time. He wants you to obey your parents in your heart. And when it comes to murder, it's not just about your hands, it's about your heart. You see, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said of old, "You shall not murder," and then there's a list of punishments if you murder. And in the Old Testament, you would be executed if you were found to have murdered someone else. But he says, it's not just about that, but whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of this judgment. Whoever's angry in his heart, it's not just about your hands. It's about the hate that might be inside of you for someone else. It might be insults that you have spoken to other people because in your heart you despise those other people. Perhaps you're giving someone the cold shoulder because you don't really like them and you don't want to talk to them. In your heart, you're hating that person. Perhaps you're bullying that person. Perhaps you're bitter towards that person. And all of that, Jesus says, is actually within this commandment. When God says, "You shall not murder," it's not just about your hands. It's about the hatred and the scorn and the bitterness and the bullying and the insults that perhaps you have in your heart towards other people. Now, even if we start thinking about that, how many of us now can give ourselves the big tick? How many of us can actually say, no, I'm not guilty of thinking badly about other people or despising other people in my heart, of insulting other people or not wanting to speak to other people because I'm angry at them? How many of us can tick it off and say, yep, I can stand before the judge, God himself who knows my heart, and say, I'm not guilty of that? God knows your heart perfectly. And when you understand what God means by his commandments and just how far he sees into your heart, you'll realize that you need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You see, even in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, which comes just after Exodus, he said, do not hate your brother in your heart. It's not even just something that Jesus said in the New Testament. God wants you to have pure hands and a clean heart. But there's more to it than that. Because our heart actually leads to our actions. You see, the seed of murder actually starts in our hearts. Every murder starts with a hatred. Every murder starts with some type of anger. Anger and hatred and scorn, they're the seeds which grow up into murder. And God doesn't want you to murder. He doesn't want you to have the full flowering fruit of blood on your hands, but he also doesn't want you to have those seeds in your heart either. Another part of Matthew, in another part of Matthew, Jesus says this, Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. Jesus is speaking to some people who are again, they're trying to give themselves the tick. They're trying to say, we're good because we do certain things. And instead of saying, yet you do these things, therefore you're good, Jesus points to their heart and he says this. He says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Those things which come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these are the things which defile a man. That is, they make you dirty or unclean before God. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Those are the things which make you unclean. Those are the things that defile you. Now I want you to think about this for a moment, because Jesus is saying, by the time something comes out of your mouth, it's actually already a fruit. Brinley, pay attention to me. By the time something comes out of your mouth, it is already a fruit of something that has been growing in your heart. If you speak an insult about someone else, then what it is actually a product of the fact that in your heart you have been hating that person. And then, if you let that continue and grow, perhaps that heart hatred which has led you to speak badly about another person, in a more extreme case, may actually lead you to murder that person. But you see how it goes. It goes from your heart, out of your mouth, down to your hands. Heart, mouth, hands. It's not just about keeping your hands clean. It's not even just about speaking the right words. It's about your heart. If you have hatred in your heart, then you will have hatred that comes out of your mouth. And your actions, even though they may not be murderous, will be hateful in some way. And what Jesus calls for you to realize is that you can't just give yourself a tick and say, I haven't murdered anyone, therefore I'm okay with God. God's standard is a lot higher than that. God's level of purity is a lot higher than just keeping your hands clean. It's about keeping your heart clean. The seed is in the attitudes of your heart. So the question is not, are your hands dirty with the blood of a murderer? Instead, the question is your heart dirty with the filthiness of anger, the filthiness of hatred or bitterness in your heart? And when you start to see just how much God sees into your heart, then you realize that you really do need Jesus to clean you. Everyone needs Jesus, because no one has a heart that pure. The thing is, though, when God spoke these commandments, he spoke about the things which are most powerful in the lives of people, most powerful in the lives of human beings. And he knows just how hard it is for every single one of us not to hate people. It is hard not to hate. In fact, sometimes we feel like we are justified in hating other people. Sometimes we are angry at people and we feel like we've got a really good reason to be angry at that person. We feel like, yes, we should be angry at that person because they've hurt us. They've behaved badly towards us. Now, perhaps someone has hurt you and you are angry in your heart towards them, but you haven't hurt them back. You've controlled yourself. You've controlled your hands. You haven't hurt them. And so you think about yourself and you think, well, I've exercised self-control. I haven't retaliated and hurt that person who has hurt me. And so, therefore, you think, all right, I've actually done pretty well here because I haven't hit back. They've spoken a bad word to me and I haven't insulted them back. Perhaps they've hit me and I haven't hit them back. You've controlled yourself. And you think, all right, give yourself a tick. And it is good. It's better to have self-control than to hit someone back or to speak an insult towards other people. But you know, that's not even what God wants from you. He's not just looking for you to control your hands or to control your mouth. What God is looking for from you is love instead of hate. Jesus calls for you not just to exercise self-control, as good as self-control is. Instead, he wants you to be like him. He wants you to love people who hate you. He wants you to love people that normally you would choose to hate because they've hurt you. Jesus doesn't want hatred in your heart at all. He doesn't want you to hate even if they hurt you, even if they've betrayed you. No hate, even when people have done wrong to you. And there's more. Jesus is very exacting in his standards, because he doesn't just say don't hate them. He says actually love the people who have hated you. Love the people in your heart and in your actions, not just those who love you, but also those who have hated you and despised you and done wrong things to you. That is impossible for humans, and yet that's what God calls us to do. It's impossible for us to do it without Jesus' help, without the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And once you understand God's standard of love, you realize that you need Jesus. Jesus says that God's standard requires us to love even those who hate us. We'll look again at Matthew 5:44. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said this. He says, I'll start at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do you love those who spitefully use you? People who have cursed you. People who have actually done you very genuine, real harm and damage in your life. Do you love them? Do you show love to them? Is that really what God requires of us? Is that really what God wants from us? Surely that's just a bit rich, isn't it? Is that really what God wants? Surely He can't expect us to actually show love to those who hate us and have actually done us harm. But you see, that's exactly what Christ did. That's exactly what Jesus did. On the cross, Jesus, we're told, was hung up on the cross, tortured, crucified, nailed through his wrists, stripped naked, spat upon, beaten. Even though the governor knew he was innocent, he'd never done anything wrong, and everyone around knew that he wasn't guilty of anything, and yet they mocked him and said, if you're the Son of God, come down from there. And they spat on him. They hated him. And yet Jesus, while he was on the cross, said these words to his Father about the people who were spitting on him and mocking him. He said to God his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I'm quite certain that none of you have ever had the pain that Jesus felt, both physically and emotionally, on the cross. And yet in the midst of all that hatred being poured out on him who was innocent, he cried out to God his Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus is so much. We need Jesus so much. Jesus is our example. He shows us that's the standard. That's what's good. That's what God is like. He is so merciful that he forgives those, even those who have hated him. Jesus also shows us just how short we fall of his standard. Are you like Jesus? No. I think I can say that safely. Are you like Jesus like this when it comes to hatred? He shows us that when we stand before God our judge, we're not going to be able to tick the box and say, yep, I've kept this, I'm good. Because unless you're like Jesus in your heart, you haven't kept it. You're not good. But you know, on that cross, Jesus is so much more than just our example. Jesus was the payment for our sin. Jesus didn't have to die, and yet he died for our sin. Jesus died so that even though you might be guilty before God, you can be freed from that guilt by receiving Jesus' shed blood to pay for your sin. You don't have to stand before God and plead guilty, because what you stand when you have Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ shed for your sins as payment for your sins. And Jesus also is our power. He doesn't just free us from feeling guilty. Jesus is able to transform us. The Bible says that Jesus, when you repent and believe, he gives you his Holy Spirit. He transforms you to be more and more like him. More and more like him. Because we have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ inside our hearts, we become more and more like him, so that our heart is filled more and more with love instead of hate and murder, so that we're able to not only forgive but also to do good to those who love, to those who hate us and those who have treated us badly. So I'll plead with you to realise that when God says you shall not murder, you can't just give yourself a tick because you've never stabbed someone. It's about your heart, not just your hands. And what this commandment shows is that we all need Jesus in so many ways. Amen.